Nice. My friends are all in this service. No, thank you. No, I am just humbled to be able to stand up here and just share what God has done in my life. And what an amazing message series this has been. I didn't get to say this in the first service because I wanted to make sure that I stayed within the time limit. But just from every week, starting with Pastor Chris, and then Pastor Dave, and Pastor Tom, Pastor Corey, and then last week with Pastor Scott, every week I know it has ministered to my heart, and I tried to text each one of them after their messages. I don't think I text you, but it was what I needed to be able to be up here today. But just how the Lord used them and the way, and some of their struggles and just being vulnerable. It's one thing for a woman to be vulnerable with other women, but I know it takes a lot, especially for men to do that. But just allowing us to be in their lives and how the Lord has spoken to them personally. And I know that made a difference in my life as well. And so I'm just honored to be able to finish out the series today. Well, don't you know that when God has grown you through an area and he's asked you to testify on something, that you're actually in some situations, you're going to be tested before you testify to make sure that you've actually learned the lessons. Well, over the last several weeks, I had plenty of opportunity to live this message out. And so last Sunday, Scott kind of made a mention that I was going to share a few pictures from our trip to Colorado. And so I'm going to do that, kind of ties with my message today. But our family just went on a three-week trip to Colorado. Just to give you a little background, I am from Florida. I moved there when I was 2. I just remember all what we did in our spare time. There were 5 kids in my family, and so we went to the beach. The beach was free, but we would go from the morning to the evening. We would just spend all day at the beach. And then as I got older, it would just call my name. And so the landscape of my heart is anywhere there's water. My husband loves the mountains. And so in a marriage, it's a give and take. So 1 year we'll go to Florida, the next year we'll go out west, and we just go back and forth with our vacation. So next year it's the beach. But this first picture, you can go ahead and show this first picture here. This is Scott and I with some mountains in the background, but also some water. So just the best of both of our worlds there. Just a beautiful picture, beautiful scenery. But what I really love about this picture is that we're down low. So the mountains are up high and we're down low. That's the way we're viewing them in this picture. I have come to find out that one of the things I don't like about the mountains is the mountain drives. I have been to the Smoky Mountains, but until a couple years ago, I had never been out west. And that's a whole nother ballgame when you start exploring that area. And so you can go to the next picture. This next picture is now we are on top of a mountain, and we had just taken a Jeep ride from Telluride all the way up Imogene Pass to about 13,000 feet elevation. We are really high up there. You can't really tell in this picture. Well, maybe you can by Nathan's hair, but it was very windy and very cold, but it was an exhilarating ride, I will say that. I sat on the side of the Jeep closest to the mountain, and I just looked at all the beautiful rocks on the mountain because I could not look down to the drop, but I did it. I survived, and I have the picture to prove it. So before you show the next slide, I'm going to set that up, or I keep saying slides, I mean pictures. We were in Colorado for 3 weeks. Scott spent a lot of time. He planned this entire adventure and planned for about 2 to 3 years and saved for it. And I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. And day one in Colorado, he decided it would be a good idea to conquer Pikes Peak. I didn't really know what that meant. But every time he would talk about it, he kind of laughed. So I did come prepared. So you can go ahead and show that picture. This is the way I handled the drive to Pikes Peak. And I did ride like that the majority of the time, up and down. The only thing I regret is that I did not leave the blindfold on the entire time. I wish I would have put it on, and I wish I would not have taken it off till we got to the top. But I didn't. You know, just like kids, like we have to peek and we have to look. And as I did that, a lot of anxious feelings started to flood me. And got kind of scary for me for a little bit. So you can go ahead and go to the next picture. This one, this was my vantage point. So if you laughed before, this is what I was seeing. So no guardrails, no shoulder. Like, we literally could just fall 14,000 feet to the ground. And I know that's not going to happen, but in my mind, I sometimes see that happening. And so it did usher in a lot of anxious thoughts. And the title of my talk today is Battling Anxious Thoughts. And when I share that, I know there's going to be two different types of people in this room today. There are going to be people who resonate with what I'm speaking on. You understand the struggle. You know the battle. And you're going to track right along with me as I share. But then the other side of it, some of you may be like my husband, who I jokingly say, he doesn't have an anxious bone in his body. You know, nothing very often makes him very anxious. And I'm just going to encourage you just to lean in and ask the Lord what he wants you to receive today. Maybe there'll be a time in your life where you can apply these principles, or maybe God is going to send you somebody in your life or somebody to minister to that you can speak this over them. So I believe that God has ordained your steps to be here today, and so I hope that you'll receive something from the message. So let's pray and let's surrender the service to the Lord. Father God, I'm just so thankful to be able to share your goodness and what you have done and what you're continuing to do in my life. Lord, I just pray for those that are here in the room, God, or watching online. Lord, I just pray that they will have ears to hear what you're speaking to them today, Lord. God, I just pray that their hearts will receive it. And Lord, I pray against any distraction of the enemy that would want to come in and just thwart what you're trying to do. God, we know that you are bigger than that. And so, Lord, we just surrender the service to you, knowing that you're going before us and that you're going to speak. In your name I pray, amen. All right, well, I know this is a very sensitive topic, so I just wanted to give a little disclaimer before I begin that I'm not claiming to know everything about anxiety, and what I'm sharing today is what God has shown me and what I have experienced in my own life. And I know that there are people who struggle with anxiety, who have chemical imbalances, and who need more than what I'm going to be able to share today. But God has given us doctors and modern medicine to help us in that area. But I also believe that there are those that sometimes we allow the fight to get stronger in our life, where we need to actually stand up and battle the fight that we're letting win in our mind. And so with that being said, my name is Karen Blanchard. I'm a Christ follower and a pastor's wife, and I battle anxious thoughts. And I have ever since I was younger. I just didn't know that that's what I was battling. You know, when I was younger, I don't even remember using the word anxiety or anxious. I'm sure I knew what anxious meant, but I never saw that in myself. And I grew up in a Christian home, and I have been in church my entire life, but we never really were taught how to deal with our emotions or even how to speak what we were feeling. And so because of that, I think I turned inward, and I started to really handle such things on my own, started to really focus on things in my mind a lot. And I would never really speak what was bothering me or how I felt, and it just became this pattern that developed in my life. And so fast forward all the way to getting ready to move to Michigan, Scott and I, you know, we talked about planting a church. You know, I knew before we ever got married that we would not stay in Pensacola. And I share this sometimes in our Discover class, that God spoke to me about coming to Michigan, and he spoke to Scott separately. I remember the day we came together and said, well, where do you think God is calling us to start Lake Point? And I was like, well, have you ever thought about going back to Michigan? So he called us separately. And I have held on to that all these years because I know that it's God's will that we are here. But even knowing that, I allowed some thoughts that I was thinking in my mind have really too much control. Because I didn't recognize what I was struggling with, back then I didn't know how to capture my thoughts. And so some of those thoughts were, where are we going to live? Where's the money going to come from? We're leaving our jobs, we're moving to start a church, and what is this going to even look like? Sure, we talked about it, but I never told Scott how much it was affecting me. So leading up to our move, at our church in Florida, Scott was the assistant pastor. And on Tuesday nights, we would have a service for young adults all across Pensacola. And somehow in his message leading up to our move, he would share things and say, well, we're stepping out in faith. We're moving to Michigan. We're selling our house. We don't know where we're going to live. We don't know where the money is going to come from. All of these things that he was saying were actually the fears that kept ruminating in my mind. Except he said it from a standpoint of his trust in God and the faith that he had. And I think I was even riding on his faith a little bit, but in my mind, I was thinking, I was allowing the worries to get control. And then even after we moved to Michigan, I battled this as well. But before we moved, one night on Tuesday night, I went home after hearing a message where he shared some of these things, and I had a panic attack. But I didn't know it was a panic attack because I didn't have language. I didn't know what that was. It was not in our culture like it is now. All I knew was that something very scary was happening to my body, and I was just out of control. And my parents came over, and when Scott came home, they all prayed over me, and eventually it passed. And I still didn't know it was a panic attack until years later, when this became so normal in our culture, and I started to relate like what this was to what happened to me back then. And thankfully, I have not had a panic attack like that since then. But even like when we moved to Michigan, because I still didn't recognize what was going on, the enemy, there were things that would happen that the enemy would attack with that I just allowed. You know, I just allowed my mind to think on and to really take control. And it wasn't until later that the Lord started to show me how I could battle that. And so if you have your notes today, the first way that we can battle anxious thoughts is, number one, recognize the battle within. Because if we don't recognize the battle, then we're not able to fight it. And then 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ." And so if we're not taking our thoughts captive, if we're just letting our minds go in the direction of our worries and our fear, then we're actually making agreements with the enemy. And if we start to make an agreement with the enemy and we allow him into our mind, then he can have access to our hearts. And so it is vital that when we start to recognize that thought that is not from God, because remember, the enemy is the one who gives us a spirit of fear, but God gives us a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. So when you start to recognize, okay, this thought is not from the Lord, you have to actually stop it and not let it get past your mind. And I remember Scott saying in a message once, he said, "If you're a good worrier, then you'll be good at meditating." And that's so true, because if you're somebody who battles anxiety, a lot of times you're just constantly thinking about the things that are to come, or how you're going to work something out, or, you know, you're constantly working in your mind. But if you can learn to shift that from all the situations and the fears and the things that you're going through, and you shift it up to the Lord, then you can actually be a fantastic meditator. And you can truly hear God's voice so clearly because you've learned how to discern your mind. And step number two, whenever learning how to battle anxious thoughts, we have to actually remember who God is. Because if we don't know who God is, then we're not going to be able to shift our mindset up to him. You know, anxiety comes when we're more focused on ourselves or our situation than we are on God. And I know when the Lord started to reveal to me that I really did not trust him, he started to show me that he is sovereign. And I, like I said, I grew up in a church my whole life, and I had heard this word, that God was sovereign, but it was always this big churchy word, and I didn't truly really understand what it meant. But I put on your handout notes that God, the creator of the heavens and earth, has authority over all things and is in complete control. Do you believe that? And it's one thing to say, yes, I believe that. I believe that God's in control. You know, I think a lot of times we give lip service to things, but it hasn't actually made it to our hearts. Because if it was truly in our heart and we really believe that God was sovereign, then we wouldn't try to take control, or we wouldn't battle anxiety as much as we do, because we would trust that God is overall. And as I started to learn about God and his sovereignty and just read about him in his word, he just began to reveal more and more of who he was or is. And I started to learn that I could actually rest in his sovereignty, that I can just truly trust that he knows my future. Whenever that fear of the future would want to come in, that I could capture that and to trust in God. And point number three, when battling anxious thoughts, is that we have to speak God's promises over the anxiety. So like I said, you have to recognize it. Then you have to remember who God is. And if you're going to capture that thought when you recognize it, you can't just stop a thought. I don't know about you, but my mind is never just blank. And I know that's somebody who struggles with anxious thoughts. But when you have a thought that you recognize that you have to capture, you have to actually replace it with something else. And so if you'll turn with me, if you have your Bible or your phone, go ahead and open to Psalms 139. And I believe this passage God used in such a powerful way in my life, not only to speak to the anxious thoughts that I battle, but also to reveal to me who he is. And I'm actually going to read a lot of this passage here, and I'm going to end with the verse that changed my life. So we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to go all the way through verse 16. And it says, "O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. You hem me in, behind, and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, the light will become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you, for the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And it was just during this time where all this anxiety had been ushered in from our move, and then just some things that were going on when we first moved here. I was reading in Psalms and I came across this passage. And when I got to verse 16, it just hit me so hard that the Lord has ordained our days, that he is going before us. He knows exactly how our life is going to unfold, and I don't have to worry. I can trust in him and in his sovereignty. You know, even in the beginning of this passage, verses 1 through 6, it says, God, he has searched us, and he knows us. He knows the words that are on our tongue before we ever speak them. He knows us so intimately. I'm thankful that we have a God that knows us intimately. Verses 7 through 12, he is with us constantly. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? You know, there is nowhere we can go that we would be apart from him. When we have invited Jesus into our heart and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells, we are sealed with his spirit. So that means wherever we go, he goes with us. Just like Scott's message series that he just spoke, the last one on Jonah. You know, Jonah tried, but God was still there, even in the depths of the sea. Verses 13 through 16, God made us wonderfully. You know, this whole passage just speaks to who God is. He was there when we were formed in our mother's womb. Nothing is hidden from him. He is always there. So just like he was there when we were formed in our mother's womb, he is already in the future. He already knows what is going to happen in our life, and we can trust in him. And so as I really started to let this passage just really, just started meditating on it, right? Started to meditate on this passage of scripture, anytime that fear of the future would try to come in or the enemy would try to attack in some way, the Holy Spirit would remind me of Psalms 139:16. Wait, I have ordained your days. And every time I would stop and I would say, nope, I'm going to take this thought captive. Whatever fear would come, I would not allow it to stay in my mind. And I would speak this truth over it. And I just think of it as like a car in a road, right? Like it comes to a roadblock where it cannot go any further and it has to be redirected. And that is what happened in my mind. Those neuro pathways were actually redirected and rerouted so that my brain really stopped worrying about this. I almost went to the other extreme to where I didn't worry about the things that were so heavy on my heart when it came to the fear of the future. And that was only because of the Lord. And in John 14, 26 and 27, I feel like this is exactly what I saw play out in my life. And in these verses in John 14, 26 and 27, this is right before Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He was about to ascend into heaven. And he was telling his disciples, and he said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So it's the Holy Spirit. We have to be in the Word of God. We have to know the promises. Not that we have to memorize them all, because I think sometimes we think, there's no way I'm going to be able to remember all of these truths. But that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring them to your memory when you need them. And then verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And I know sometimes when we hear verses like this about peace, and there's verses all through the Bible, I know them, all about peace and do not fear. And it says in the Bible 365 times that we do not need to be afraid. But how is it that when sometimes we're going through something and we can feel all of these anxious thoughts and we know God's word, and we know he promises peace, but yet we feel so far away from the promise. What do we do in that moment? And I believe, number four, if you're taking notes, that we have to stay connected to God. We have to stay connected to him. And in Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." So it says here that we will have peace if our mind is steadfast. You know, steadfast means unwavering. We're not going to be tossed back and forth, worried about what's going on in our life, worried about our circumstance. We're going to rise above that, and we're going to look to God. We're going to remember who he is, and we're going to speak his promises over that fear or over that anxiety that we're struggling with. And when we do that, he promises us his peace. Now, I know I've heard it say in messages, whether it's been here at Lake Point or other pastors that I follow, that a lot of times, you know, when we start to feel anxious, those anxious feelings should lead us to the Lord. They should lead us to pray. And yes, they definitely should. And if that's the only thing you hear me say today, if you're somebody who's battling anxiety and you have not even learned how to take your thoughts captive, I would say, let that anxiety lead you to the Lord. Pray. Ask him to help remove that anxiety in your life. And that's what I've done for so many years, that the Lord has really helped me through this battle. And I was praying prayers like, "God, help me overcome my anxious thoughts. You know, God, please remove this anxiety and give me your peace." And like I said, it's been helpful. But what the Lord, I believe, is wanting me to say today is that he wants us to get to the root cause of the anxiety that we battle in our life. Because for me, what I have come to learn in my life is that I would have an anxious thought, then I would battle it, and then I would be okay. Then I would have an anxious thought, then I would battle it, and then I would be okay. And it's this constant cycle of a battle. And I'm so thankful that the Lord meets us in that battle and he carries us through. I've seen that in my life over and over again. But recently, the Lord has just been showing me that I need to actually get to that root cause. What is it that I'm struggling with that is allowing this anxiety to continue to happen in my life? If the Bible promises us peace, and I don't feel peace, then there's something that I need to uncover. And there are three powerful prayers that the Lord has shown me in the last couple years that he's worked through in my life. And the first one is, God, where am I struggling to trust you? And this word trust is, I think sometimes it's a little deceiving that we think that just because we go to church and just because we've prayed the prayer of salvation and we've invited Jesus into our life, that we trust him. And I know a lot of times, especially in the way that I was brought up, like we could never, like I never felt like I could say I didn't trust God. So when we start to recognize that when we invite Jesus into our life, that just begins our trust in him. So if I'm going to go have coffee with a friend, I'm not going to sit down for our first time that we're getting to know each other and just pour out everything about my life. I'm not going to tell them all of my struggles and all of my worries. That'll come in time as that trust is built. And as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, he builds our trust in him. And I just want to pause here for a minute and just say how I believe the church has really done a disservice. The church as a whole, I think Lake Point does a good job, but the church as a whole has done a disservice to people with mental health that struggle with anxiety and depression. Because I have heard time and time again how people have just been told to just trust God or just pray. And while that might be true, that is not helpful in the moment. When someone is really in a hard place and they're really struggling, they cannot receive that in that moment. What they do need in that moment is someone to just come alongside of them, be present with them, love them, tell them that they're not alone. And if they have the Holy Spirit in their life, if you pray for them, for the Holy Spirit and for God to show them where their struggle is, he will. And there may be another time that you might be able to speak into their life, but when we just give a curt religious answer, it actually can do more harm than it can do good. It can actually bring in feelings of shame and condemnation, or even turn them away from the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you that if God sends you to minister to somebody, to just love them in that moment and know that he's going to meet them where they're at. I was recently in just a very hard season of my life, and the Lord just showed me that the sick room is not a place for theology lessons. Let's do that later when they're feeling better. And I experienced it. In that moment, I just needed people to love me. You know, to just remind me that I wasn't alone. See, when you're with a group of women, this is what we do. We cry. Sorry, I'll get it together. So back to the message, you know, I believe that when we go to God and we say, God, what are we struggling with? He wants to show that to us. But we have to humble ourselves. And a lot of times when we say, oh, I trust God, that's not humbling ourselves. You know, if there's anxiety, if there's a lack of peace, there's a reason. And the Lord wants you, he wants to show that to you. But he does it in a loving way. He does it in such a gentle and compassionate way. And then number two, a powerful prayer to pray when you have your time with the Lord is, God, where am I out of alignment with you? This is just, where are you out of God's will? Maybe God has called you to do something and you are running in disobedience. Or maybe you're trying to keep up with culture and you're trying to do all of these things that that you're so frazzled that God has not actually called you to do all of that. A lot of times we usher in anxiety on our own. So where have you been out of alignment with the Lord? And then number three, God, where do you want to bring healing in my body? And this one is one that I've just recently really kind of worked through with the Lord, because a lot of times, you know, our body traps trauma. And so if there's been something that maybe has been, that you've gone through in your life, or maybe there's a relationship that you haven't gotten forgiveness for, or maybe, or even given forgiveness, I guess that's what I should say. You know, whenever we go through things, and often we just want to shove it down, like, yeah, I'm good, and you shove it down, but the body keeps a score, and the body actually remembers all of those things until you are truly healed in that area. And so sometimes we just have to ask God, where do you want to bring healing in my body? And a lot of times it actually might get a little harder when you ask that, but then you can be set free. God wants you to be set free. He doesn't want you to have to stay in this cycle of anxiety that's going to continue to go on and on and on. But we have to do that hard heart work ourselves. And so as I finish here, I just want to kind of go full circle back to what I was sharing about Colorado. So that first day, we conquered Pikes Peak. We have the pictures to show it. Then day two and day three, we did some crazy mountain drives on those days as well. And so by day four, I was just done. Like, I was done. And this is a three-week vacation. And Scott had a hike scheduled for that day. And I was like, oh. And what I have learned, because I had been in this pattern of just being quiet and doing what I need to do, I have learned I need to listen to my body and I need to speak what I feel. I mean, I'm 43. It's about time, right? So I just told Scott, I'm like, I can't go. I really need a day. I need to hang behind. And so him and the kids went off. They went on their hike, which was a crazy hike. And I'm thankful that the Lord told me not to go. But where we were staying, there was this beautiful plaza with all these restaurants and shops. And I was sitting there facing this mountain, you know, I was down low facing the mountain. And I was just sitting there journaling, because I was really borderline panic on this trip. And I had not been that way. And so I'm just like, Lord, why? Why do I feel this way? You know, I really want to enjoy this trip with my family. I don't understand. Where am I struggling to trust you? And I looked up at this mountain, I'm not making this up just to have a good story. Like, I journaled this, and I looked up, and I saw this bear pop out from this line of trees, and he just galloped across to this other side of trees. I'm talking like 200-300 yards away. And I'm looking around at all these people, like, just walking around, and no one else sees it. I'm sitting here, and I see this bear. And then he pops out again, just in case I didn't, like, I started to question, was that a bear? Was that not a bear? He pops out again, and he gallops across to this other line of trees. I mean, we can go to the Smoky Mountains, and we can drive around for days and never see a bear. And so right at that moment, the Lord sent this bear. And I'm looking around, and I'm like, what in the world? And this is what the Lord said to me in that moment. He said, Karen, you never know the dangers and the evil that is lurking around you that you can't see. You can just be going about your day like all these people, and you never know the ways that I'm protecting you. So don't let the fear that you do see have control over you. I have ordained your days. And in that moment, I was just like, Lord, you're so good. You know, when we go to the Lord and we ask him to show us something and he speaks, there is nothing else like it. And I wouldn't have changed that for the world. And so I held on to that for the rest of our trip. And yeah, there were moments where I was a little anxious again on road rides, but I remembered the word he gave me. I was reciting scripture. I was listening to worship music. The Lord was with me and got me through. And, you know, he just wants us to invite him in. He wants to fill us. He wants us to be so focused on him that it doesn't matter what's going on around here. That's the peace that we can have when we stay connected to God. And so as I finish, I'm going to go back to Psalms 139 because this is my favorite passage in the Bible. I'm going to finish it out. And it says in verse 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive ways in me and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He just wants us to humble ourselves, come to him, and ask him to show us what we need to know. And as I finish here, I just want to close and just say that an anxious heart isn't evidence of a failed faith. Rather, it should just lead us into a deeper relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I'm just so thankful that you know us so well, Lord, and that you just want to bring us closer to you. Lord, you speak so intimately and so personally. God, help us to just continue to go to you. Lord, let those anxious thoughts or those worries that we battle, God, I just pray that they will just signal us to turn to you. Lord, I pray for the people in this room that, God, maybe they are just starting to recognize this feeling, this anxious thought that they're battling, Lord. God, I just pray that through something that was shared today, that they will just see that they can overcome this, that you have promised us your peace, and that when we stay connected to you, when our minds are on you, that you want to give that to us, Lord. God, we're just so thankful for the ways that you move, the ways that you work. God, thank you for meeting with us today. In your name I pray. Amen.